to deal with it. I'll have to get it.
You'll have to take Peter's.
For all the other ones for this trip, he did
Shmuel did him, or he got them, whatever it is, he's on top of it, so I gave that over to him.
Okay,
we're holding here Uperik Chelik Amr Loza Kolpanis Hamanigas at Sibu Benacha Zochum and Higel Molom Haba Shenema Kimirachmam Yenahagim from a Buai Benahalim Adkan. So it says over there, Chazal say that somebody who's Manig that Sibur Benachas is Zochot Manig and Molom Haba. So why in particular, where's the schar? Everything is zochen olam haba. Like, this is something very particular. Ubir ze ki yoyse mikol royu hanocha leparnes hamanigat tzibur. So he says the mida of calm, of tranquility, is more befitting a parnes hamanigat tzibur. Ki kol parnes hamanig ha'om shiyem menucho la'om ashu manig va'parnes hamanig tzibur benachas. Now, this the words here are a little bit awkward. I don't know if there's something off in the gears or drop, but the point is quite clear, and it's a point the morale makes in different places.
That means the word hanach is difficult.
No, the word hanach is a word as we used before. The word hanach means menucha. It's sort of an adjective out of menucha. But the way he phrases his words, va'parnes hamanigas atzibur benachas. Shia menucha la'oma shumanig va'parnes hamanigas atzibur benachas. It's a little awkward phrasing, but it's clear what he means. The musig of movement, in other words, when you manig something means you move it. The morale in many places speaks about that which is in flux means it's not shalem, and it's always heading towards the direction of finding a place where it's realized it's shleimus. In other words, motion is always there for a purpose of settling. Even though today we see it a little differently in the terms of something in motion will be in motion and so on, but it's not a steer in any way, because today we recognize acceleration as being what was called motion. Whereas stable motion is not really motion, acceleration means change. If you have an atom that's missing electrons in its circles, it's always volatile. The more it's missing, the more volatile it is, because it's trying to balance itself. Once it reaches a state of balance, it's not going anyplace, and it becomes very stable. And it becomes very hard actually to get it to do anything. Everything in the world, flux is always with a certain tachlis. Something falls downhill till it can't go further. Something crumbles till it can't crumble further, and so on. So things are in motion until the tachlis of the motion is to get to some sort of menucha. The atzibur that's in motion, the manhig is the one who is trying to bring it to its menucha. And that's why when we can speak of an ineffective manhig, we can also speak of a turbulent manhig. It's the ship keeps rocking, and there's something wrong with a ship that's always in a crisis mode. It should be moving smoothly, because you're trying, as time goes on, for it to be more and more smooth. If you need a constant upsetting of the apple cart to make things happen, that's not a good hanhaga. Yes?
But the menucha is at the tachlis, maybe he needs more motion to get to that tachlis.
So when somebody's driving, it's somebody who stops and starts and stops and starts is a bad driver. Yes, you start the car and you bring it to a stop, but you want a smooth ride, because that's part of driving. My wife is the one who does drive. We have a my wife is, Leon, her, a very good driver. We have a mochatenista who uses brakes and gears in equal measure. And, you know, driving with her, it's like, you know, you feel like benching Gomel every time. She literally, she drives with the gears and the brakes on, you know, back and forth. And you're talking about the back streets of Lawrence. You're not talking about some obstacle course someplace. That's not good driving. The hanhaga, the menuchin hanhaga is something. Let's say you have a place that deals with Talmidim, or difficult Talmidim, whatever. So you expect some struggle, but if it's constantly a need to keep upsetting the apple cart and getting, you know, explosions, it's not good hanhaga. The hanhaga is like a funnel where you start from turbulence and move it into a smooth journey. You try to get into. So he says like this: V'yadua kolom haza eina olam amnucha. So Olam Haza is never, you know, a makom menucha. So his anhaga that he moves it, shalmei menucha menasim, zeichel lahanigoy sebo Olam Haba, gamkein shalom haba kulam menucha. So ki'at b'Olam Haza efshe es kulam menucha, l'kach zeuch lahanigoy sebo la'osid, shosti amnucha shleima, hashket v'vetach, ti anhaga shal menucha kolzat. So his point is that anhaga v'tzibur is especially measured by how calm it is versus how turbulent it is, and Olam Haba versus Olam Haza is the calm and the peace versus the amakum that's, there is no resting place. Okay, that's the end of Perek Aleph. Let's, yes?
What does it mean he is manic living in Olam Haba? What does it mean?
So I think it means that the tzura of him being a manhig is meaningful in Olam Haba because it's a quality. In other words, the fact that the shleimus of the tzibur is with this manhig, a manhig that imparts calm to a tzibur is imparting a certain shleimus. He put them on a road where things run smoothly. That is the hanhaga. It's like a person who runs a tzibur where things are tranquil and so on. I actually have to share an interesting story that I heard from the person who was involved in Radin. There was a terrible machlokas, the Bachrim. There were a lot of machlokas. Actually, when people come and say, oh, it's so terrible, machlokas is manazeh, I guess they never bothered to inquire about, you know, the other's manim. And in Radin, Chavetz Chaim took Rabbi Yeruchim to be mashgiach. And the boys did not like him. The irony is, Radin was a yeshiva by far inferior to Mir. In Mir, they carried Rabbi Yeruchim on, you know, as a king. The Bachrim worshipped him. In Radin, the Bachrim hated him and did everything they could to make his life miserable. And they made strikes and everything. I heard this from somebody who was there, and you know, was told us. It's a little bit hinted in the biography of the Chavetz Chaim's son. And the Chavetz Chaim was absolutely upset. He said fiery shmuzen, and he would get up and bang and machlekes, get out of here, and you know, and he said all the things that you imagine that if Chavetz Chaim would come today and say these things, nobody would do it. The Bachrim carried on the same. It was, when people talk, but at a point, so Chavetz Chaim waged a very strong battle, but at a point he asked Rabbi to leave. He said, you know, yeshiva needs tranquility. It's whether you're right or wrong, but it's not. And amazingly enough, you know, he went to the mirror and he became the mirror. And it's, you know, it's always an understanding that the place has to fit the person, and it doesn't make a difference how big the person is. Maybe the suit was too tight for him. Maybe it was a size too small. And in the mirror, you know, it's not that he led the mirror, but the Bachrim worshipped him, and the biggest ones, Reb Leib Malin, looked at him, you know, and Reb Leib was a very tough person, a very strong person, a huge Talmid Chacham, and he worshipped, and so did come out everybody else. It was an amazing phenomenon. Okay, let's see the next, the beginning of Perek Beis. I'm sorry, what? Perek Eladvar. Omer Reb Shimon
Shlok. Why is the pasuk mentioned on the Maral D'Zestina? Why is it mentioned the aspect of Rachmim in the pasuk?
I think maybe Merachmim is it's going on the manhik. The word Mabui Mayim is usually in Tanakh, it implies a sort of calm. It's like waters flowing tranquilly. That's a flow of water is always a very tranquil image. I don't know how the Gemara, I'm not sure. I mean, there is, the next piece is actually going to speak about a Gemara where you have, there are two reasons why a manhig's hanhaga is turbulent. One is that he doesn't know how to be manhig the tzibur, and one is he's got his own issues that play out in the interaction between him and them. And I'll speak about this in the next one. Very, very possible that that's why he's alluding to it being a merachma. In other words, the calm here comes from the anhaga with them, as opposed to being at loggerheads. A person who runs things with seichel tends to be calm. A person that runs things with emotions tends to be volatile. A teacher who gets upset. You know, we have a person we know that they're going through the having teenagers, and the mother is a wonderful woman, but she's a sensitive person, and every time her teenage son says, "You're a terrible parent," she takes it to heart and gets very upset. It's not the pshat as well, should he have said it, should I have said it, why would he call me a terrible person? What does he think? You know, it becomes an issue to people. And that's where you get that volatile type of relationship when yourself is involved in it. And hanhaga requires divorce, being able to divorce yourself from the interaction with the other. You can't have your ego threatened by the class, or by the student, or by the child, or whatever it is. It can't be the same relationship as if the person would be your friend, and if the person said something not nice or mean, it upsets you, because if that goes in relationship, then you have, that's where most volatility comes in.
Why is that rachmim?
I think it means rachmim. No, rachmim means that he's interested in them. It's something that is...
External.
What?
External.
He's you know, he's interested in their welfare. It's not right. Exactly. It's not his own thing. That's the okay. Let's see the next piece. Beperik el dvar. Amar b'shemesh lakish. Kol adam shekoyis im chachamu chachmasim istalekes menu. Vim navi univasim istalekes menu. Im chachamu. And the third thing says, I think the Gemara says a parnis also, if I'm not mistaken. Three things it says over there. And brings the passive and so on. Shmuel got it, you know, over the head and so on. Ubiyazek v'amarni. So he's going to explain. Ki hanoach hu asedash adam misuda l'ashayvi. In other words, when things are in their place, then things are in equilibrium. V'im koes hachachma shal mistalekes. V'im anevua hu anovi mistalekes. Kasher etzah adam min aseda v'hu shinu. So let's explain the point over here. A person needs to be a kli for chachma and nevuah. Both of them are a person being a kli kibul where he has chachma. Like we always explain, chachma is a click between your chachma and your person. And the nevuah certainly is like that. You're like a microphone to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's a certain tzushtel to something else. Anytime there's a change in the kli, its bal karchach stops being a kli roy. If you distort a bottle, it no longer can hold the water. If you know, there's any upsetting of things are in optimal position to be makabel something. Any shinu you make to it destroys that. So b'meila, he says, things that I need to be a kli kibul for, which is chachma nevuah, I am going to lose the thing because, and that's what he says. Whenever the person is no longer in equilibrium, he loses it. And again, you can take it down to a very simple point. A person normally has, let's take it ourselves. A person has a certain kibbutz for das. We understand, and so on. When a person gets emotional and upset, it's almost as if I don't have a head to think about it. That's the kind of the expression we use. We're just too, it's as if our kibbutz was filled with all sorts of other things. And I'm not talking about just, you know, the knowledge of facts and statistics. We're talking about what to do in this situation. How should I act? How should I, react? If it's just seichel there, then you have the seichel you have. But if you become upset, then it blocks it. And you feel, you can almost feel this chazal in Gibshutei. It says also, if you are someone who is a parnes and a tzibur, you also need to have an hagad benachas. In other words, the whole metzias of a malchus, of a manhig, is to retain the equilibrium of a tzibur. And if he loses it, then you can't have somebody who himself is not put together to put into place. One time my father's told me an extraordinary story. Rabbi Avram Gajensky was the Mashgiach of Slabodka. After the Alta left to Hebron, he was his big Talmud. He was a Kreisberg's father-in-law, a Volba's father-in-law. He was an extraordinary person. He was killed in the war. He was interesting. He was Polish in his background. He had the Slabodka Malchus and regality and everything about it. My father was very close to him. He was my father's Rav. And he asked him, even the war, the most difficult shaylos, until he was killed in the ghetto and so on. So he has a son actually living in Bnei Brak, a very special person, Bitzalik Gujansky, an extraordinary nice person. He's around the Kail. But the father was Malchus. He carried himself Malchus, and everything. There was an incident in Slabodka, not an incident, the whole parasha, where there were tremendous temper flare-ups and machlokas and things going on. My father told me he was by Rav Gujansky, and somebody threw a chair at him. And he said, Rav Avram did not flinch. And that calm. Like, he didn't, like, he gauged, he didn't need to duck the chair. And he didn't, there was no emotional reaction to that. But that's, so that means that he is bedas u b'seichel, and he can do it. There's I guess I'm in the mood for stories now.
Yeah.
I didn't know the Mara had so many stories. I saw this is a story brought in, there's a book on Rav Meir Chadash HaMashgiach, I think it's called. Very good biography, very fresh stories and stuff. Things that feel very real. And somebody was telling the following story that there was a bacha, Rav Moshe Shapiro told him a story. It's written, Rav Moshe at the Shiva, it was sitting there. I don't know which one said which, but one of the people, either Rav Moshe or the Avelim or a third person there, said over that Rav Meir Chadash, one of the other people said over, a bach once did something really bad, and his friend said, you're going to be thrown out for this one. He said, no, I won't. I know exactly how to deal with it. Okay. Sure enough, he gets called out to Rav Meir's and comes back, and he says, I'm still in. He said, what did you do? He said, I was mischatzif greatly to Rav Meir Chadash, and at some point he felt he no longer had the ability to make a clear decision because he's personally involved. And he didn't throw him out of yeshiva. So one of the three people sitting there, I don't remember
das.
What?
That guy's a big boy das.
Hopefully he used that das for some good, or else we're in trouble. And I don't remember the third person in the story. I don't know if it was Rav Moshe said this story and the other person commented, or Rav Moshe commented. He was like, he was shocked. He says, oh my gosh, he said, I know where he got that anhaga from. He said, the altar, I think his father might have told him, Rav Meir Chadash learned by the altar Slabodka. the Alter went to throw out a bach. He called the bacha to throw him out. And the bacha said, why? And he said, in Yiddish, there's a phrase. He said, because you spoke neger Hashem v'neger Yichud. Which means, you know, you blaspheme. And this bacha said, tell me the truth. Is it the neger Hashem that bothers you, or the neger Mashiach that bothers you? And the Alter thought and said, I need to hold off. You know, I can't react to that. And that's an extraordinary. Let me share a personal story that for me was very, very edifying. Many years ago, in the first years I was in Silver Spring, and there was a boy in yeshiva who was very, very, very bright. With some sort of trouble background, extremely bright, really. He was quiet, he was kind of a little bit of a loner. But the sense was, as time went on, that there was a lot more going on than meets the eye. At one point, we got a sense that there was a young woman he was involved in with. And, you know, it's somebody that... I had enough evidence that... it was clear, and it could have done whatever. So I called him over and I said, listen, I don't see that he wasn't particularly enamored or anything in yeshiva. I mean, he was learning cursive, but nothing turned him on in yeshiva. I said, you know, I think we need to call it quits and move on. He said, he understands, but he said, I have 2 or 3 weeks left to the semester. If I leave now, I lose all the credits in college. I said, so I'll figure out a way. I said, we'll figure out. He said he can't face his parents. His parents were a tshuva geyim. They didn't understand what he was going through, and they would just yell and scream at him and make his life miserable. He said he doesn't have any real option. I said, why don't you move out of yeshiva and go to college? You know, there's no shortage of housing. You know, well, so he told me he can't because his parents snap. I said, against my better judgment, I said, I'll let you stay. It's 3 weeks. I can't make life, you know, I can't do it. But you're not to go anywhere within 10 miles of that person's house, and you're not to this, and da, 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 da. And you know, I said, you know, be a man. He promised. Next night, I get a phone call from this person. From the bacher. The caller ID is kind of blocked out, you know, and he says, is so-and-so in yeshiva? It sounded quite urgent. I said, is everything okay? Gavi is, you know, yeah. What sounded very urgent is that he needed somebody to pick him up. Something was like, I need to get out. The conversation broke in the middle, the connection was lost. He redialed and forgot to do the and it was at that girl's house. Mm-hmm. And I looked at the sweat. You know, I don't lose my temper so easily, but I really, really was fierce because I've been played as a fool. I mean, you can't get worse than that. You know, like I don't have a problem. It's one thing the girl, it's one thing. I remember, I went to Rabbi American. This is my Baal Ras, and he's a master machanach, and he's a master of control, and he's an extraordinary person. And I told him at that time he was very involved. He was like the mashgiach sort of. Now he's much more involved in the whole thing, but. You know, he said, tell me the truth. Do you honestly think, do other people know about what's going on? I said, no, he's a loner and he does his own thing. He said, so let's look at it. If you let him stay the 2-3 weeks and bite your lip and not say anything, and he leaves, he may or may not hang on to Yiddish guide and so on. And that's, and you know, 50-50, whatever it is. If you throw him out, he's gone for good. There's no real negative effect of that he might have on people, because even alone, like you said, you evaluate. So he said, so Seichel says to keep quiet and just let it go, and that's it. You have no choice. So I felt he was right, and I did it, and that was it. And 2 weeks later, he said goodbye, and he went his merry way, and that was the end of it. 2 or 3 years later, this was the tkufa. I was still commuting back and forth. I'm sitting at my perm suda in Yerushalayim. And you know, it was already quite hot, and 2 guys walk in, and yeshiva bacher, very fine yeshiva bacher, isn't it? And I don't like it. And then one guy says, "Rebbe, it's me." So, and he said, you know, about a half year afterwards, he sort of got his act together, he came into his soul to learn for half a year, and he stayed, and he's learning away, and he's studying, isn't that? So I was drunk enough to tell him the half of the story that, and he said, I knew it. But I say to myself, imagine he would have become fry. He would have dropped out. I just been walking around feeling good about myself. I was the tzaddik, and you know, Kol Amar Hashem. And someday they would show me in Shemayim, if you should have controlled yourself, and this is what he could have been. You know, and to me it was a tremendous lesson. It required superhuman effort. I had the fortune of having somebody else who wasn't so personally involved be able to tell me, to set me straight, sechel-wise. I mean, I knew down deep that he was right, but it's pretty bad. You played up for a fool, and somebody can do something so bad and so on. You know, like it really, really but. He was struggling with a lot of things, and he got his act together. And he was sitting and learning way by smother, him and his brother. It was, you know, so I guess. Okay. So he says, "Im koyes a chachmas shemstakes nevoah nevu lakach im yeshli chachmas shemnevuah kasher mekabel hashinu hu yoytzim asheroyli." So that's one thing. Ubosha is if the place of gedula bottled over there, kimisha is the gedula vu parnis tzorch shia hanagosi benachas. In other words, Seder is really the flip side of tranquility. It's when everything's in its place, structured where it should be, things are smooth. How can somebody who himself is not in Seder? So therefore the person can no longer have gedula because it's not worthy for that. A person who doesn't have his own inner tranquility can certainly not impart that to a tzibur. In Seder and Menucha have a very clear, very clearly synonymous, as opposed to Kas and so on. So he has, for the first two issues, for Nevuah and for Chachma, he says he's not a Kli Kibul, and for this he says the person is not a Seder. Now he adds a piece here. He says Va'oidesh Halohavin. Elu gimel dvarim shenisku kana chachma nevuah vagdula. Came gimel milas al yarnos asher kol achas v'achas madregi v'nei atzma kasher tovin elu gimel. Now the Maral says these three things that are picked here, chachma nevuah gdula, where's it coming from? V'adeaka seyitzu chutzu milas al chachma nevuah vagdula. Shreile gimel yeshakal echad seydem yuchan v'shenis v'kasher tovin. So let's talk about these three things. Again, this is one of the places where the Maral sort of is meramis his things and so on. A person has in himself three inyanim, two of which he's a kli kibul HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and one of which is he is kaviyachol like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And let's explain what we mean. Chachma is where a person is a kli kibul for something that's outside of him. It's Hashem ezitin chachma mikiyu dasatuna. In other words, Chachma means I absorb that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashpia. That's Chachma. Nevuah is where I am a megaphone, spokesperson for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those two elements require to be a kli kibul for something that's being passed through me. And Kas affects it by just like if the bottle is punctured, twisted, crunched, and so on, it's not going to be a kli kibul. This won't be a kli kibul, so the person can't be a kli kibul. That's how those two are affected. The third element is where when a person is a manhig, kaviyachol, he is the kaviyachol, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to him, so he is to the world. A melech is somebody that needs to be complete in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he needs complete. He needs to have the total deference and respect and so on, because he's the manik of the world, kaviyoch like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Menucha in that case is the essence of what he is. It's not a kli kibble for menucha. So if a person who's a manik is a balkas, and that's why there's a difference in lashon here. In Chochmah and Nevuah it says mistalekes mimen. In other words, the kli kibble I think one of the mefarshim there says the word mimenu. Maybe Ral says it someplace. It's only that particular time. In other words, I could be a chacham like by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was a chacham, except when he was kayas, it was mistalek mimenu. The same thing by Shmuel, was a navi until he was kayas, and it was mistalek mimenu. So over there, it's only temporary. I am a chacham, I am a navi. It's like a bottle. It's like when I squish it or crunch it, that moment is not good. Where I flatten out again, it's good. A melech is the pshat. That's me. It's not me as a klikil for something. I need to be the nekuda that creates that sort of center of gravity that keeps everything balanced. If I lose it, if I don't have the ability to control myself, then I'm not. There's no. They're not nifsak and ikdula to him. So that's why there's a lush, and that's why he says these three things are miles al yainis. I think he refers to, we'll kind of finish with this. I think what he's referring to, usually when he speaks about these things, he's kind of referring to spheres or something. He's referring to Yud of Chachma. He's referring to, or Yud K actually says, it says the Yud He is Keneged, the Inyanim of Chachma. It's the Chachma Bina. It says in Sfar, I'm not this is the Pshat. The Vav is the Hamshacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is expressed through Dibur. It's one way in which Vav is the Ois of Hemshech. It resembles the Aver of Hemshech. The Vav has in itself that Chibur. And the last Hey is Kineged Malchus, which is where we can imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the second Hey being like the first Hey, and we can be Manhig, the world. A Melech has himself an akuda of Malchus, in that sense. So I think he's sort of, that's what he's alluding to when he says these three things, but I think that's his.
Usually, when he says Nebu is from Sphere Sabina, wouldn't that be the natural upset?
I think he means, since he's doing it this way, to be more Nebuah, is in most places, and it says it's Keneged, Netzach, and Hod, I think in depending on how we structure it, in other words, Nevuah is the flow. Chachma itself is it sits in the place. Nevuah means the hamshacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world around it. So I think it includes the entire Metzius. That's, I would have to guess. I don't have any other clues about how he's. I mean, like I told you, in the Sfarim, when they talk about Nevuah, they speak about Netzach and Hod as being the Mokum Yenikas and Nevuah, because that's connected. The two chalakim of the zera and so on. It's a certain hamshacha of zriya down the mata, but I would guess that this includes the last hay being malchus is definite. The yud and the hay being chachma bina keneged chachma also makes sense. So my gut feeling would be that the vav includes everything else, which it normally does. So that would be the okay. We'll hold it here.
Most gemaras. We'll include the whole system. So,
what?
Since Gemara should include the whole system, Nevuah should be.
Right. One would expect it to include. Right. So, okay. Yeah.
Perhaps the definition of Rachmi as being other than oneself is different between Rachmi Ahav versus Rachmi Ahain. So, it's that lady in the story. Sometimes it's be wrapping it.